So I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be back with you again this morning, meet together and learn a few things, maybe to draw us closer to the Lord and our walk with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you would give us wisdom. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Help us to bring glory and honor to you in all that we do. Again, help us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. All right, I want to read a verse or two here in Revelation, and then we're going to turn to Romans. But Revelation 21, verse 6 and 7. I think we'll read 8 as well. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What I want to talk about this morning is, in verse 7 it says, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my people." In verse 8 it says, it lists some bad things, but the first in the list is, it says, cowardly and unbelieving. And what I want to talk about is overcoming this morning. It goes well with the lesson that the children and the young people and the boys, young men, talked about an underdog. And that is what you see, or I see, whenever I read the word overcoming, is someone who is behind, someone that's overwhelmed. And we see so many out of all the boys, I think there's only 2 repeats this morning, but how many examples in the Bible where God's people were overcome by the world, and through their faith and through their persistence and their trust in the Lord and doing what God wanted them to do, they overcame their enemies. And that's what I want to talk about. And let's see a little more teaching of this in Romans chapter 12. We could read the whole chapter. I don't think we will. I want to read verse 1 just to set a little beginning here. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Then I want to move over to verse 12. It says, "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We begin here in verse 1 where it says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Right there's the premise of our goal, to present ourselves holy and acceptable to God. A sacrifice to God. Whenever we think of overcoming, you know, it's wonderful to hear a story or see something where someone is behind and they just work hard and hard and then they overcome their enemy. They defeat them. You know, I mean, almost every movie or every book or every story that we read, that's what really gets our attention whenever we read something like that. In games, whatever. Someone coming from behind, looks like there's no hope for them to win. And they just work hard and keep going and keep pushing and keep planning and keep, and they overcome their enemy. They defeat them. And we all love that idea. And we read that, and like we've said before, in many of the stories in the Old Testament, how Israel just looked like there was no hope at all. But they just kept on pursuing, and God delivered them, and they overcame their enemies. That's the kind of overcoming we like to do. That's the overcoming we see, and it is encouraging, and it's fun. And we just want to get in a battle and just really fight it out. And I mean, that's the heart of someone that's got courage. They just want to jump in there and just do something. They want to change the world. They want to overcome their enemies. And that's the heart of a hero, or someone with courage and someone that's valiant, that they just don't want to give up and they just want to pursue to win those goals. But is that the picture that we see whenever we read what Jesus, or what the Bible tells us to do? Jesus told us to love our enemies, to do good to them that do wrong to us. The kind of overcoming I want to talk about today is the overcoming that the Bible talks about. The overcoming. We have the idea of overcoming is putting down our enemies, destroying them, winning the war, winning the game, and overcoming them. But is that the kind of overcoming that Jesus is talking about in Revelations? Is he that overcometh will be my sons and my daughters? I don't believe it is. It's not the same kind of overcoming. That's an exciting kind of overcoming. That's the kind the flesh can get involved in and defeat something. And it makes us really feel good. But that's not what the Bible teaches about overcoming. Here in this book of Romans, in verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Here's how we do it. We keep on pressing on in tribulation. We rejoice in the hope to overcome. And we're devoted to prayer. We stay close to the Lord, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's overcoming. That's part of it. It's just put right in there. We want to do all the spiritual things, but it tells us to contribute to the needs of the saints and to practice hospitality. Then it goes on and gives us some more instruction. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is where it gets a little difficult. You know, we talk about sacrificing whenever there's something to gain for us. We like to win whenever we can gain something and overcome something. And sometimes, whenever something really doesn't cost us much, we can bless people. We can still, just kind of let it go off our, like water off a duck's back. If somebody does us wrong, we can just kind of let it go. It really didn't cost me that much. It really didn't hurt that bad. Sure, I can forgive them. Sure, I can let it go. Blessed are those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. And do not curse. You know, when someone's persecuting you, it's not just something that's just going to roll off your back like water off a duck. When someone's persecuting you to where it really counts, to where you have to overcome, it's going to cost you something. It's going to hurt. Persecution is nothing nice. There's nothing nice about that. To be persecuted is to someone taking strong advantage over you. Maybe even punishing you. Maybe even torturing you. You feel it. We live kind of isolated and kind of comfortable. And someone comes along and takes something from us, they're just taking something of extra, usually. It didn't really cost us anything. It's kind of unpleasant. But basically, it's just taking some from our excess. I think of the woman at the well. The woman in the treasury watching in the church there, and all these men come in and put in their big donations, and then the poor widow come in with two mites. That's like less than pennies, just a little bit, and she dropped it in. And Jesus said, "I want you to notice something here. She gave more than all of the rest of them." Because they were giving of just their excess. But she was giving her very living, her very life. It cost her. There was no cost to those other people. It was just shedding a little fat. It was just giving away a little extra. Oh yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't like it. But it didn't cost them anything. This woman, it was taking away from her very existence. And Jesus said she gave more than them all, because it actually cost her. When we can bless someone that's not just offended us a little bit, that just not said a little smart word to us or something that kind of hurt our feelings, but when we can bless someone who has actually got close to us, got close to our hearts, tore the flesh off of us, that's when you bless someone. And it counts. You see, to overcome, like the Bible's talking about, it's not just to coast through life and just, oh yeah, I'll be nice to people when they do me wrong a little bit. I'll just coast along and everything's, I got everything all planned. I got my life all worked out great. And I'm just going to coast through life and kind of keep my nose clean, not do anything real bad. But to know Jesus and the type of overcoming that He did in this life takes us giving ourselves away, leaving ourselves vulnerable. See, we're all looking for safety. We're all looking for security. We want to be eternally secure. We want to know it's all fixed and we're going to heaven. There ain't no problems. But that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus said, you're in the world. There's a devil out there. There's yourself to contend with. We're at war. It's not the time just to be at peace and rest. It says, he that overcomes will have his part in the kingdom of God. He that overcomes will be my son, and I'll be his father. He that overcomes will be my daughter, and I will be his father. It's not just for the lackadaisical coasting in. It's the people who overcome. We're at war. To overcome. Let's read a little bit more. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Verse 7. How often, when do we get to the point when we can pay back evil for evil to someone? According to the Bible. When it gets too bad, go ahead and pay back evil for evil. No, it says never. How long is never? When is never? What is never? Is there a little wishy-washiness with never? It says never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Here's the key to overcoming. It's not overpowering and defeating your enemy. It's not letting your enemy defeat you. See, whenever someone does us wrong, they've done us evil. And for us to put them where they belong, us to defeat them and stop the evil would be what we would think about being overcomers. That's kind of the theme or the idea we have about overcoming. But that's not how you overcome. We'll read verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, the idea of overcoming is to put our enemies down and defeat them. But that's not how you do it in God's kingdom. You see, if someone does me wrong, and I have to get revenge, or I have to get even, or I have to fix it, it appears like I've overcome to the world. Because I've put down my enemy. But that's not where the battle is. You see, when something bad happens to me, the way I overcome it is not to get caught up in doing the same thing the person did to me. That's how you overcome evil. That's how you win. By losing. He that finds his life will lose it. But he that loses his life will find it. How do you overcome evil? How are you not overcome by evil? By not getting caught up in doing the very same thing. We overcome evil by doing good. Not doing evil. You overcome evil by doing good to those who have done you wrong. Like I said, You know, in theory, we can all kind of do that. You know, whenever it doesn't really cost us nothing, we're just kind of shedding a little here, shedding a little there. Oh yeah, I can turn the other cheek. I can resist, you know. But when it really costs us is when it really counts. Whenever they get close. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. If you pay back evil to someone else, you have lost. It may appear like you've won, but you have not overcome the evil one. You never win the world. You never overcome the world by doing evil and playing their game. Being the best at it. You overcome by turning it all around and doing what's right. You let it go. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. We can't get along with everybody because there's a lot of people don't want got along with. There's people that just do not want to get along with anyone. But we can be at peace. We don't have to be overcome by it. We can overcome. We can still do good if nobody else does. We can still do right whenever the whole world is attacking us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus could have called 10,000. He could have won that battle in a blink of an eye. But he overcame. He trusted God, accepted that you can do nothing, but that my Father has allowed it to happen. So I'm going to trust in Him. I'm not going to seek revenge. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'll die. And he did. And that's how he overcame. And that's our example. Losing our life to find it. Verse 19, here's this word again. Never take your own revenge. Part time, sometime, maybe once in a while, never take your own revenge. Beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Now, here's another little problem that we run into. And I've heard people say this. I'm not going to take revenge on them, but God's going to smack them in the next week. See, you're just using God's method. It didn't transform you. You're just using God to get back at your enemy so you don't have to do it yourself. You haven't overcome anything. We're not doing this so God will take revenge and get revenge on enemies for us. We're doing this to overcome the world. We're doing this to say, God will take care of it. And you know what Jesus did? And you know what Stephen did? Whenever they were doing evil to them, he said, God, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They weren't sitting there, oh, go ahead, you just go ahead, throw rocks at me, you go ahead and kill me. Boy, God's going to smack you and I can't wait. Go ahead, drive the nails, go ahead, kill me. God will take care of you. No. They said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And you know, I don't know. But when Jesus asked for God to forgive someone, I kind of think he's let it go. When Stephen said, forgive them, he didn't want those people punished. He wasn't looking for God's wrath to be poured out on them. In fact, The disciples came and said, "Oh, Lord, those people won't listen to us. Why don't we send fire down?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of. You've got an overcoming spirit, but it's not the right kind of overcoming. That's the winning. I'm going to get my day kind of overcoming." Jesus said, "You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. Never take revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." You know, a lot of times we use the Bible, how we, you know, it hadn't really cost us something, so somebody's done us wrong, so I'm just going to go do something nice to them. Just drippy sweet nice. So that I can fulfill the scriptures. You know, that's not it either. That's not the attitude. Wait, there'll be an opportunity. Your enemy doesn't always hunger. He doesn't always thirst. There'll be a time. There'll be a time when it's going to cost you something to be there for your enemy. To be there for your enemy. That's not just go put on a religious show. Just go take him a bag of groceries when he's done you wrong so you can feel better about it. That's not what it's talking about. There'll be a time. I've seen this over and over in my life. When people will be against you. They'll be against you. They'll be your enemy. Maybe years. But then one day, they'll be all alone. One day, all of the people that they had supporting them will turn their back on them. They'll wind up in a nursing home. They'll wind up in a hospital. All by themselves. And you can step in and be their friend when no one else will. You can be there. You see, we can't just go fix things by just doing something nice to them. That's not what it's talking about. This is talking about an overcoming. Through times when it almost looks hopeless. But then, one day, there will be an opportunity. And you can be a true friend to someone who has not been your friend. You can prove yourself like Jesus. And be there when all everything is lost for someone else. And you can step in there and say, "I'll be there. I'll be your friend." See, that kind of dependability, that kind of overcoming, that kind of faithfulness. It goes past the little surface things. But when you're down, when no, you don't have a friend, you find one. You thought, you laughed at him, you mocked him, you ridiculed him. But when it all came to nothing, he was there by your side. He was the one that came and was there for you. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. The world mocked him. The world laughed at him. But when it came right down to it, he is your friend. And after everything else is gone, he'll be there. Not because you deserve it, but because he is good. And he overcomes evil with good. You know how you're the salt of the earth? The salt of the earth. You know how you're the salt of the earth. You're preserving. You're putting some light and some goodness right in the middle of darkness. And you be an example. You trust people. You give people the opportunity to do what's right. You leave yourself completely open to be attacked. You leave yourself completely open to be hurt. But you do it. And people will see that. And that'll change them. It will preserve them. They will see goodness. But it's got to go downhill a lot of times before they can see it. Just trust people. That's hard to do in a world where everybody's out for their own. But when you can go ahead and let yourself be cheated, let yourself lose, just trying to open yourself to show people that all this stuff doesn't matter anyway. It's hard. It's hard. Because we've got this desire to overcome. We want to be winners. And that's kind of a paradox. People who are courageous, people who have the courage to want to do, they want to do something. They want to be a Gideon. They want to be a Daniel and just go out there and just fight a big battle and win something. But the courageous comes as losing, letting it be taken away so that you can overcome evil with good. Be an overcomer. Be a real overcomer, not just a winner. Be a kingdom overcomer. It's hard to do. And I've failed more than I've won at this battle. But we can still rise up and overcome. Being faithful. Anyway, all right. Well, praise the Lord.
Forward be our God's word. Steps and